faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look, up in the sky.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
Yes, it's Superman, strange visitor from another world who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. But before we join Superman, here is an important message.
Fellows and girls, have you ever seen a squadron of American bombers roaring through the air in formation? Have you seen newsreel pictures of Uncle Sam's destroyers cutting through the seas on patrol in search of enemy subs and surface raiders? I'm sure you have. And I bet you were thrilled. You probably felt terribly proud, too. Well, if you've been buying war-saving stamps regularly, you have a right to be proud. Not only because those planes and those ships represent the fighting spirit of America, but because you helped to build them. Yes, sir. Every time you bought a war-saving stamp, your money helped buy the labor and materials that are used to make planes and ships and equipment to knock...
Well, he's new here, and he probably doesn't know we all collect pet model planes.
Hey, that's a good idea, Jack. I'll see you both over at the club tomorrow.
Well, gang, if the new boy in town hasn't found out about the pet plane models, you know as well as I do what a swell surprise he's going to get. Because there's a cardboard plane model in two colors right inside every single package of Kellogg's Pep. You don't have to send in any money for it, not even a box top. And what's more, there are seven models in this series, really keen ones, like the Flying Fortress and the Pretty Spitfire. So, gang, keep on making those golden delicious whole wheat flakes your own special breakfast. Keep on collecting Pep model planes. And remember the name, Pep. P-E-P. Pep is made by Kellogg's in Battle Creek.
And now, the adventures of Superman!
Captured by Barton, the man of many accents, Jimmy Olsen was told he must decide how to die, either by leaping off Barton's terrace to the street 35 stories below, or by facing the saboteur's man-eating Black Panther. Meanwhile, Superman, having foiled Barton's latest coup by saving an American convoy from Jap rocket guns, returned to Metropolis to find Jimmy missing. As we continue now, on the high terrace, Barton is taunting Jimmy. 10 feet away in the next room, the Black Panther snarls and strains at the chain holding him to the wall. Listen.
I came out here, Olsen, to remind...
...the continent of Atlantis, an ancient civilization believed to lie at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. In our last episode, we heard how they began the descent in Dr. Cameron's multi-depth submarine, which they hoped would end in locating the lost continent. But terrible dangers were in store for them. As they reached the depth of a mile and a half beneath the surface of the Atlantic, a mammoth octopus, 40 times larger than an ordinary octopus, attacked the submarine. Our friends were helpless, because for once it seemed Superman could do nothing. Listen.
Oh, it's horrible. Look at that hideous thing swimming toward us. It's like a huge head with tremendous arms attached to it. Arms as big as fire hoses. Oh, Mr. White, if only Superman were here.
What could Superman do?
If Superman were here, he'd get out through the escape chamber and kill that horrible and disgusting thing.
I've been wondering about that. Superman could get out of the escape chamber, but how would he get out of this compression tank?
You're right, Kent. If the door of this compression tank was opened, we'd all die. There's a tremendous pressure outside there, a pressure none of us would be able to withstand.
That's exactly right, Perry. If the door of this compression tank was opened, we'd die almost instantly.
Lois, what?
Back against the window!
A suction cup! A suction cup from one of those tentacles. Leander, it's reached us. We're caught in its tentacle.
What's that?
It's the motors. The octopus is dragging us down into the depths. He's wrapped his arms around us and is pulling us down. The motors can't pull against it.
The gate. Look at the gate. We're going down again.
There's nothing we can do now. Nothing at all.
But great heavens, we've got to do something. If we're dragged down beyond the 3-mile point, the submarine will begin to crack up.
Crack up is hardly the phrase, Miss Lane. If we go down beyond 3 miles, the reaction on this submarine will be similar to a sledgehammer hitting an egg tray. The pressure will smash us into a pulp.
Well, what are we going to do?
Yes, Doctor, isn't there anything we can do?
Nothing but await our end quietly and with fortitude.
No, there must be something. You're a scientist. You ought to have made some preparations for an emergency like this.
Please, Mr. Kent, we mustn't lose control.
Yes, Clark, for heaven's sake,
control?
Don't...
Control? Who can control himself at a time like this? I got to get out of here. I can't stand being enclosed in this small space, that frightful thing dragging us down into the depths.
Get away from that door, Mr. Kent.
You just try and make...
You fall open that door, Kent, and we'll all last about 10 seconds.
10 seconds?
You heard me, 10 seconds.
Cleverly, Superman, in his disguise of Clark Kent, leads Dr. Cameron into telling him just how long that door can be opened before Lois, White, and Cameron, ordinary mortals, feel the effects of the pressure. Instantly, as Superman, he makes his decision. And as Clark Kent begins to act the part of the coward.
I'm frightened. I'm scared, I tell you, scared.
Kent, for the love of heaven, stop it. We're all scared. But we're doing our darndest not to show it.
I'm not built that way. I'm frightened. I'm frightened, and that's all there is to it.
Didn't he agree?
He says it was a mixtopen punctatum. Ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous.
No, doctor, it really doesn't matter.
Well, whatever it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Just like a Christmas tree glowing in a dark room.
This is wonderful. I've never experienced anything like it.
How far down are we now, doctor?
Well, now, let me see. Yes, 1.5 miles. Time to turn on the searchlight. We don't want to hit a projecting ledge or coral reef.
Or an Atlantean mountain peak.
Nicodemus. Turn on the searchlights, Nicodemus.
Okay.
I still say that was an Anthromalacus nocostalcus. I suppose you didn't see the iron cilia dactylometer depending from the aurelia?
You can't even pronounce it. It was a mctovum punctatum. There's no doubt of it in my mind.
No doubt of it in his mind. He hasn't got a mind.
Uh-oh, there go the searchlights.
Great heavens, look.
Oh, Clark, isn't it amazing? Simply amazing.
Leander, I really don't care now whether we find Atlantis or not. I've seen everything there is to be seen.
I feel the same way, Mr.
Oh, I knew it would thrill you. It thrills me, too. Remember, I've never seen this before, either.
Well, if you've never seen all this before, how can you be sure you're right and Nicodemus is wrong?
What do you mean?
Well, he says that fish we saw was a mictopum pictotum.
Yes. What was that again, Chief?
Nicodemus said that fish was a mict...
Wait until... Well... Maybe just until morning.
No, I'm sorry, Miss Lane, we can't. I've got to reach the spot where I believe Atlantis is located on schedule. I can't risk changing weather conditions and all that sort of thing.
But why, Leander?
We have a supply problem, you know. Enough food for just such and such a length of time. Oil for so many running hours and so on. Minutes are precious to the success of our expedition, and we must not waste them.
I was hoping Nicodemus would take another day to fix those electric motors.
Fortunately, he located the trouble a lot quicker than we expected. Wonderful man, Nicodemus. Sensitive, but wonderful.
Well, I suppose you're right. But somehow, I hate to leave this spot.
So do I. It was here at this spot that Clark was shot and fell overboard.
Yes, he threw his life away to save mine.
Somehow, it's like tearing yourself away from the grave of a close friend.
I didn't realize that Kent meant so much to you, Lois.
I didn't either. He's gone now, and I miss him. You miss him, don't you?
Yes, very much. He was a real man, Lois. I regret the many times that I misjudged him.
Oh, another thing. I wonder if Superman reached a doctor before it was too late
now,
for Jimmy.
Now, don't worry, Lois. He didn't fail. He never does.
No, not with something he can control. But Jimmy might have died seconds after Superman left.
Well, all we can do is now is hope.
There.
Red and blue, no. No, it can't be. That would be too much to ask. And
it
yes,
is, it... Mr. White, it is. Look through the glass. It's Superman.
Superman?
Yes, I see. He pulled that monster octopus away from the sub. And now they're both getting ready to do battle.
Oh, I can't watch. It's horrible.
Well, I'm going to watch it, but I can tell you that. There's never been a battle like this in the world before.
Oh, you're right, Perry. Absolutely right. Look there. The octopus coiling its many arms, getting ready to attack.
Oh, no. No.
Superman is treading water, waiting for it. There it goes for it. If Kent could only see this.
Oh, poor Clark. Isn't there something we can do for
him? No, Lois, no. He's better off as he is. He'll come around all right.
The octopus, it's wrapped every one of those powerful arms around him. It's going to try to crush him.
Those tentacles are like fire hoses. What strength there must be in them. Oh, no. No, Superman or not, he can't withstand anything like that.
But he is, Perry, he is. Look, oh, great Jupiter, look. He's starting to tie those arms in knots.
Why, haven't you right? He's having a tough time doing it. In fact, I'm not sure that he can.
He must.
Leander, what's that black stuff filling the water? It looks as if somebody poured a huge bottle of black ink into the water.
It's the black liquid the octopus throws off the smoke screen, Perry. It's a horrible choking sort of substance.
Great heavens. Superman's having a tough enough time as it is. He no longer gets one arm from around him, then the octopus wraps another's around him. Why, this is terrible.
The water's getting inkier. It's almost impossible to...
...in this or any other circuit. The three vogels. The three daredevils of the air will dazzle you with their amazing, death-defying feat from a single thing.
Cheap. 100 feet.
There they are on the towers now.
They look awful small up there.
Don't they?
They're getting set. Mrs. Vogel turned a somersault on that tiny wire and landed on her husband's shoulder. And no net underneath either.
Watch Peter, the boy, Jim. He's getting ready to leave the tower.
Oh, what does he do, Miss Lane?
Well, he'll walk out on the wire, and his father will toss him up on Mrs. Vogel's shoulders, and then... Jim!
Holy mackerel, the wire!
It's both! They're falling!
Downward, downward. Their threshing arms and spangled tights flashing in the glow of the great searchlights, the two Vogels whirl sickeningly toward the earth 100 feet below. The great crowd screams, then freezes in horror. We'll return for the dramatic climax of today's episode in a moment. But first, John wants to have a word with you. Go ahead, John.
Gang, ever come home from school so hungry you figured you just couldn't wait until dinner time? Well, next time that happens, just pour yourself a big bowl full of golden delicious Kellogg's Pep with plenty of good whole milk. And see if that doesn't really hit the spot. Those grand, crisp whole wheat flakes make a swell afternoon snack. And what's more, they're mighty good for you, too. So, gang, be sure your mother puts Pep on her shopping list for tomorrow. And remember the name, Pep. P-E-P. Pep is made by Kellogg's in Battle Creek.
And now, back to our story. Beginning their spectacular high-wire performance at the circus, Mr. and Mrs. Vogel suddenly plunged through space toward the earth 100 feet below when the wire snapped beneath them. Before the horrified eyes of Lois, Jimmy, and thousands of spectators, their bodies landed with a dull, sickening thud. Clark Kent, returning from beneath the stands, has just joined our friends.
Clark, I can't look.
Oh, easy, Lois. Easy.
Terrible.
They're getting whatever help is possible.
Gosh. It's a good thing the little kid didn't step out on the wire. Look, he's coming down the rope now. Poor kid.
Oh, it's just so terrible. They're probably both dead.
It's the first bad accident the circus ever had, isn't it?
It wasn't an accident, Jim.
Huh? What did you say, Mr. Kent?
Wasn't an accident.
Not leave the compression chamber without killing the others in it. What can Superman do now? How will he resolve this situation? Well, be sure to listen Monday and every day, Monday through Friday, same time, same station. Tune in and follow The Adventures of Superman.
Well, there goes Superman until Monday. Meanwhile, don't let the weekend go by without buying your share of war-saving stamps. And remember what I told you at the beginning of this program, you fellows and girls who are too young to join the armed forces or any of the national defense organizations. You can do your part, you can help win this war by buying war-saving stamps. So let's make a pledge right now to buy war-saving stamps regularly. Talk it over tonight with Mother and Dad. Ask them to give you a dime every day or even every other day for war-saving stamps. And then buy some extra ones out of your regular weekly allowance. And see if you can't get your friends to buy stamps regularly, too. Or better yet, why not organize a war-saving stamp club right in your neighborhood? And make this your club slogan. Every time you've got a dime, buy a war-saving stamp.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound.
It's a bird!
It's a plane! It's Superman!
Follow the adventures of Superman every day, Monday through Friday, same time, same station. Superman is directed by George Lothar and is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.